And so from listening to the song about Jesus and his beautiful name, we turn to God's word and we continue to read the good news about Jesus. And it's Luke chapter 24 today, Luke 24. Luke's Gospel 24 and verses 1 to 12. I'm using the New Living Translation today. This particular translation just gives what I thought was some helpful colour to this account. So it's Luke's Gospel chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. And this for us is the good news about our risen Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. I don't know if for you that's an account of the resurrection you use very much. Often we use John chapter 20 because there's lots of detail in John chapter 20, lots of action in John 20, lots of running about, disciples all over the place in John chapter 20. And we like Luke 24 with the Emmaus Road story. Often we like to dwell on that, a lot of detail in the Emmaus Road story, a lot of a story that a lot of us can connect with. And but here in these first 12 verses of Luke 24, which is all about the resurrection of Jesus, you notice that Jesus isn't actually seen by anybody in this account. And I think that's significant, because actually this is about the life of disciples and how they deal with this world-changing news, this greatest event in human history, and how they respond to it. I wonder if we lose our sense of wonder. Does that make sense? Do we lose our sense of wonder at the resurrection and the cross? We have this huge build-up to Easter, don't we? We have the whole of the 6 weeks of Lent, and we do self-denial in the Salvation Army at the same time. So we're thinking about denying ourselves, and we're thinking about that in the context of what Jesus does for us. And we have the significance of Holy Week and reflecting deeply on all that the cross is about for us, and Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday happens, and it's great, and it was last week. And then it's just back to normal, isn't it? And because Easter's late this year, we're straight out of Easter Sunday, we're straight into Anzac Day and all that that means, and then we're going to be straight into Red Shield as well. I knew there'd be some enthusiasm for that, and you will get opportunities to participate in that. And suddenly it's rolling on again, and then it's going to be June, so that means that there'll be Christmas stuff in the shops, And you know, and the light-up Christmas hat will appear at Waratah Shopping Village, as it always does, with all its classy declaration of how great life with Jesus is. And suddenly, Easter's just blipped by. There are six Sundays of Easter in the church calendar. They take us up to Ascension, and they take us into Pentecost. And it's there so that we don't lose the wonder at what's actually happened. Wonder. It's not that difficult to wonder at the world, is it? A few pictures from our week. Thank you, Stacey. It's been great having Phil and Angela with us this week. And so it's great for us to be able to, you know, because we've been here like so long, so we can show people around and say, well, obviously that spider's not going to hurt you, but that one will. And you can drive around not very far from here and you get some amazing scenes, don't you, that make you stop and wonder. And you've all taken pictures like this. And you've looked at the same scenes as I have. And somehow we don't get bored of it, do we? What a great job they've done at the bogey hole. That was good to see yesterday. And there's Hugo, the Galapagos tortoise, in the reptile park. That's moved a bit quicker than Hugo does. What's not to wonder about a Galapagos tortoise? How does God create that? Or even dream up the very idea? Yeah, the next one. Thanks, Stacey. And so you've got all sorts of things to wonder at. That's fine, thank you. You all take better pictures than I do. Lots of things to wonder at. It's not hard. We have an inbuilt curiosity and wonder about the world, don't we? Most of us do. I don't know about you. I never tire of looking at the ocean. But it's mostly always the same. But we have this built-in sense of wonder about the world around us. It's what makes us human, is curiosity about the world. And yet sometimes we can be really casual with our faith. Yeah, Jesus died and rose again and did it for me. And we can just tuck that away, can't we? Actually, just take a moment to reflect on the enormity of that. Jesus came to earth, put aside divine privilege, died and rose again for you. Just take a moment to bask in the wonder of that. You see, here in Luke 24, we see a very different side to some of these disciples. We see Peter at the end of the account, who stooped in, had a look, and went home again, wondering what had happened. This is not how we see Peter in most of the gospel stories. Peter isn't someone who stops to ponder very much before leaping into action. But here he is, and we know his story, and we know what got him to this point. And Luke wants us to know that Peter went on his own, had a look, and went home wondering. And the word that the Greek uses, that's translated wonder there, has to do with all the things we think of amazement. It's to do with amazement. It's to do with being dumbfounded. It's also the word that would be used to describe the beginning of trying to think about it. I don't know whether we overthink it or underthink it or whether it's just me, but sometimes I just think we just accept the resurrection of Jesus as a kind of thing that happened and was clearly very important, but sometimes don't stop to think about the real sense of wonder in that, wonder that inspires our worship. But Peter's not the only disciple involved in this story. We've got the women. The women who get told the most important news that's ever been announced in the history of the world ever, the women who get told that news, some of whom are anonymous. In a world where women did not get told anything and were expected to say even less. But it's the women who go to the tomb, who go to their tomb to do what would be done for someone that had died under the circumstances under which Jesus has died, going to anoint the body, taking the spices. They arrive, the stone's already been rolled away. They go in. They don't find Jesus. And then two angels appear. And as always, the sight of angels inspires immediate fear. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Now, normally, angels at this point say, "Don't be afraid." These angels aren't saying that. These angels have got something else to say. It's almost incredulous. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He isn't here. Why would you expect to see him here? This is where death is remembered and celebrated. But he isn't here. He is alive and he is out in the world and he will meet you out on the road. It's as if they obviously know that the women are there, otherwise they wouldn't show up. But as if they want to say, "Why would you be here? Do you not remember what he told you? He told you this would happen. He told you that he would be betrayed. He told you he would be crucified. He told you, if you had paid attention, and I wouldn't have done either, if you'd paid attention, he would have told you that he would rise from the dead. So why are you here looking for him where he will not be found? But go and tell that news." They go in their emotional response from being puzzled. Verse 4 says they were puzzled. They were terrified. Verse 5, and then verse 8, then they remembered that he had said this. Now, sometimes in my life there are things which happen which are to me puzzling. I find it puzzling that my beloved wife can break the speed limit and think that she should get away with it. Not just in the judicial system, because they will have their day, let me assure you, but also the fact that we now have some moral high ground to stand on in our house. And we are teaching a young man to drive. So clearly, this opportunity should not be missed to talk about the dangers of speed and inappropriate use of speed. Let me also say that Salvation Army platforms should not be abused for domestic purposes. But there are lots of things that puzzle us, we're mostly puzzled most of the time, aren't we? There's a lot about our faith that's hard to understand and hard to make sense of. There's a lot about life that's puzzling. There's a lot about life that's terrifying, if we're honest. And so these women, they're dealing with being puzzled, they're dealing with being terrified, and then they remembered that Jesus had said this. And at the point of their remembering, suddenly the fear's gone, the puzzle's gone, and they're heading back out to tell all the other disciples that Jesus is alive. And in this version of the story, they haven't met him yet. They're taking the word of the angels. When you and I are puzzled and terrified, remember that Jesus has said this is how it would be. Remember that Jesus has said this. Remember the teachings. Remember the things you've learned about him. Remember the times that you know that he's been with you. Remember the times when you've listened to someone else encourage you. When you've been with people who've walked through the darkest days and still come out worshiping. Remember that God keeps his promises. The resurrection is the ultimate proof that God keeps his promises. It's the ultimate promise that says, "I will be with you." Jesus alive, risen from the dead, now set free from all the boundaries of time and space, appearing at will, where he wants to be alive, fully human, and still fully human, fully divine, and alongside you in your puzzlement and in your fear or whatever else you might be going through. Remember that Jesus had said all this. Remember that Jesus said this would happen. Remember what Jesus has said to us, that he will be with us to the very end of the age. Puzzled, terrified, but then they remembered. The challenge for us is not to stay in our puzzlement or in our terror, but to move on to the remembering. Because it's the remembering that sends you out, sends you back with stories of good news. So the women have got the good news about the resurrection. And they go back to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women. We don't know how many, who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. Not the first or last time in history that that's happened, is it? But here's the thing, you see, we can sometimes focus on that. What we should really focus on is the women who were faithful in telling the story. And were faithful in telling the story regardless of the reaction that it got. Because you and I are charged with telling our stories as well. You and I are charged with telling, with sharing the good news about Jesus. You and I are charged with taking the good news of Jesus out into the world. We're charged with living it, with answering questions, always having an answer to give for the reason, for the hope we have within us, says Peter. And it's not our job to worry about how people respond to that. People are responsible for their own response. But you and I are responsible for the telling. And if we worry too much about whether our words will be dismissed as nonsense, and I would think some of those women would have thought that, because women did not carry news of any kind in the ancient world. They were not expected to speak about anything in the ancient world, and they knew that, and they were good Jewish girls. They'd learned up knowing how to behave, and yet in this moment they defy social convention, and they go and say, Jesus is alive. Now think about the enormity of that. Because they'd all seen him die, and they'd all seen him buried. And these women say, he's alive. And their words are dismissed as nonsense, and so might yours be, and so might mine be. But it doesn't mean we don't still tell the story anyway. We are not responsible for how people respond to what we have to say. We are responsible for sharing and being good news people. He isn't here. Why would you find him there? And it turns out that they will meet Jesus in unexpected places. And I wonder about Peter in this account, who was probably with all those disciples that heard those women speak on that day. And might well have been among the people that said it was all a load of nonsense. Might well have been. We're not told that. Whatever he made of their story and however he reacted to it, he ran to the tomb, had a look for himself, and went home wondering. We have to be careful not to read into the scripture what's not written for us. But I quite like the idea that maybe Peter was with the rest of them, dismissing the story, but went and checked it out anyway. And it changed his life. When you and I go and tell our story, when we share what it means to live life with Jesus, the difference that he makes. You may well find that people pour scorn on that, take no notice of it, ignore it, whatever. You never know if someone in that little group won't go check it out for themselves. So be faithful in the telling. That's all your job is and mine. To go out of here sharing the good news that Jesus is not to be found in a grave. You see, you can go to the graves of all sorts of important people and celebrate good lives. You can go and see the grave of Gandhi. You can go and see the grave of Muhammad. You can go and see the grave of all sorts of people. There is no grave to go and see Jesus in because he's not there. He's out where you are, set free from boundaries of time and space and out in the world, in the places where you are, and he will meet you in unexpected places. Those women went expecting to see a dead Jesus in a tomb, and then all those disciples met a risen Lord Jesus in unexpected places. And so can you. And so can I. I encourage you to remain in a sense of Easter wonder. That this has happened. It has happened once and for all time and for you. You are in this story. Your challenge and mine is to find our place in this story and to go tell what we have seen, whatever people, however people respond to us. You see, we need both those emotional responses in this story. We need the silent wonder and we need the enthusiastic storytelling. But it's my contention that without the wonder, there's no depth to the story. So take the time just to be amazed at what is so familiar to us. And may the risen Lord Jesus bless you as you do.